All right, episode 29, everyone. 29 and feeling fine. I don't even know if that rhymes, but we've got a special guest here. My dear old friend, Matt Rogers, is welcome. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Don. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, you are more than welcome. It's exciting to have a guest here in the palatial studio that we built out just for this visit, right?
This studio is spectacular.
It's incredible, right? It's the stormtrooper in the corner that does it for you.
You know, I'm a little anxious about that because he's got a big gun.
He's coming at you.
He is.
So Matt is here, as I just said, and Matt has a history in education. You've been in education most of your life. Is that a correct statement?
That is true. Yeah. Okay. Even my mother and my father were both in the education.
Were they? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so we're talking, principal, working at district, working on campus, I believe like a guidance counselor at one point.
Yeah. All those things.
Do you want to run us through a little bit of the different things you've done?
Sure. Yeah. I started out, as a classroom teacher.
Okay.
Elementary.
I love it.
Working with upper grade students, fifth grade.
Okay.
And moved into school counseling and did that work at the elementary and middle school level.
Yes.
Quite a change, elementary to middle school.
Yes.
You know, you have kids.
I do have children.
Yes. And then moved, did that for a while.
Okay.
Fun job.
Yeah.
Very fun job.
Yeah. What's the best part of the job? Is it the kids or the parents or neither?
Oh, it's the kids.
I'm just kidding.
It's the kids.
Okay.
I mean, the parents are awesome.
Yeah.
The ones that are your ally and really help you do the right work.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're incredible.
Absolutely.
But the kids are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the teachers as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Got to have a great staff.
Yeah. And then I moved
It takes a village, they say.
It does take a village.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really does.
Yeah.
And then just moved into administration. Did that for
a
while at middle school and then principal for a while at elementary. And now I'm doing, human resource work.
Okay.
At a school district.
So safe to say, I think you've got credentials and skills to pay the bills as it relates to all things education, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So the reason why I wanted to bring, everyone's listening to this wondering what in the world is like a elementary school guy here doing here, or middle school or high, whatever the case may be, what are they doing talking about advertising and marketing? And I thought it might be an interesting idea to pick a subject matter expert's brain on marketing as it relates to children.
Okay.
Right? So early in my career, and I can name drop, most of the time we don't name drop, you know, clients and things and whatnot, but I have mentioned in the past that I worked on Kellogg's many, many moons ago, right? Worked on Kellogg's for years and years. And you think about breakfast cereal, you know, you've got all sorts of cartoon characters, Snap, Crackle, Pop, right? You've got Tony the Tiger, you've got all these different sort of mascots, right?
Absolutely.
And I would say that's direct. Hey, yeah, we're running Saturday morning cartoons during commercials or during cartoons and whatever, and thinking, hey, kids, ask your mom to buy Rice Krispies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, is that innocent? I have no idea. Is that direct marketing to children? Sure.
Sure.
You know, you know, so it's kind of an interesting thought about marketing to kids, quasi good, bad, you know, indifferent. I don't know. And, you know, I've got some initial thoughts I wrote down here. I did some show prep, but as I bring the topic up to you, and I know that I kind of am sneak attacking you as you popped into the office for a visit and said, hey, surprise, you're on the pod. You know, any initial thoughts as it relates to sort of marketing for kids? I mean, obviously you work with businesses that work into the education space. I've worked on suppliers that supply equipment to schools, won't name those names, but I mean, so I've circled around it as well in terms of, you know, trying to sell products and or services into district, right? But any thoughts related to marketing kids, anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, just kind of your intro about Kellogg's and just my own life experience as a kid, right? So growing up in the South and, you know, watching Saturday morning cartoons, that was everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
And the first thing that comes to mind as it relates to like marketing to kids and then the whole realm of kids learning is Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean,
Conjunction Junction,
what's your function?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I mean, and Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl. I mean, you could like, that was so fun to actually have those Schoolhouse Rock come on.
Yeah.
And then you go to school and you like sing it together.
Sure.
And the teacher's like, wow. You know,
yeah,
and it's pretty interesting because even, you know, 20 years later when I started teaching, Schoolhouse Rock was still a resource.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Yeah,
and so that's a great way that, you know, you could take what interests kids and integrate it into direct content or direct learning and instruction.
Totally. That's a really interesting positive observation. You know what I mean? Of like, you know, making it fun for kids.
Right.
Learning is fun. I mean, I think learning is fun. You didn't have the benefit, but we recorded a podcast earlier about what's the best part about your job. And one of the things I mentioned actually was the learning. And here I am way removed from school. But the fact that I get to learn all these different things about all these different businesses and travel around and do all these different things, I still totally get a kick out of that. That's the most interesting part of the job, right? You know, learning is fundamental. Or, you know, read a book. It's good times, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, and we teach kids to be lifelong learners and we try to model that as well.
Absolutely.
So, and so when you look at a lot of the instructional materials from Scholastic and just different textbook companies, huge entities.
Yeah. McGraw-Hill, dare I say.
Yeah. I mean, and just the conversion from print text to digital text and engagement with devices like iPads and things like that.
Yeah.
You're making that written page come alive in ways that we never even dreamed of when we were kids.
Yeah, yeah. So
there are opportunities for marketing.
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for
sure. So like Scholastic has the monopoly on the bookstore, the school.
The school book fair?
Oh, yeah. And I got to say, they do it so well.
Well, I'm going to call that a positive then.
Very positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It inspires kids to read, the love of reading, sharing that with their peers, with their family.
Yeah.
It's just, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other sort of topical come to mind things of maybe even the flip side of like, oh, companies that want to get into schools or want to get into district where you're like, oh, no, this is not an appropriate situation. Or is that hard to judge because it's kind of by... You know, education around the United States is obviously such a local thing, right? There's no national, like, hey, this is what, you know.
Yeah. And there are different rules and guidelines that dictate who has access. So you might go to one school district in one state and they allow, you know, Coke machines in their high schools.
Yeah. Yeah.
And snack machines. And another school in another state would be like, oh, no, there's not going to be any of that. So different locations have different rules around who has access to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, a personal experience of sort of that ground-up marketing, and there definitely is a strategy, especially on college campuses, where, you know, the studies show if you start getting college-age kids brand allegiance, right, where it's like, oh, I drink Mountain Dew, or whatever, whatever they get, you know, I don't want to say addicted to, that sounds bad, but whatever they get familiar with and love the branding for in their formative years is what they're going to carry for the next 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So there definitely is a strategy of college ambassadorship, you know, hey, get them used to XYZ something, and then they'll, you know, when they start making money, they'll keep those sort of allegiances going. But Takis, the chip Takis, never heard of those things ever until they were in like every elementary school.
Yeah.
And then suddenly every kid is like, I got to get Takis. And they're not at the grocery store, right? Because it was like a food service thing. Okay. And then now all of a sudden it's a retail brand and you can buy your Takis everywhere, right?
Right.
That's a funny, interesting, just personal anecdote of like the pull-through strategy of like had never heard of these things until, you know, the kids, you know, loved them and wanted them, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. And I think if you think about just the different areas that kids learn within a school, or just so, whether it's social learning or you know, academic learning, or like you think about sports and in the way that different brands try to get their advertising, get their imagery in front of kids in high school,
totally,
middle school, high school. You think about in the lunchroom, you know, if it's you know, Oscar Mayer, you know, Lunchables or whatever, all of that comes in. And gets kids' interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So you have some marketing that tries to get into the actual classroom.
Yeah.
Another example would be like Minecraft.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. So that's a game
that
is now an amazing instructional tool.
Yeah. Well, talk to me more about that. Like, instructional tool in terms of building or in terms of the way you have to, because I'm familiar with Minecraft through my kids as well.
Okay.
I am shocked at the level of the depth, I guess, of how you have to combine different elements to create whatever you're trying to create. The crafting aspect of Minecraft, I think, is fascinating. So.
It is, and all the strategy and the thinking that goes into being successful at that game.
Yeah.
And I don't know the game extremely well, but I know that there's a whole branch of it that is started in education world.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is the, I think there are multiple versions of the game, and one of them is the educational version.
Okay.
And I think that there's a way to like set your school server up and then everybody can play either on premise or remote, you know what I mean, and do their crafting and all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
But it truly is down to like the, I don't want to say periodic table of elements, but it's like you have the, you have iron, you have wood, you have all these different types of wood, you have sands, and you know, you have all these sort of building blocks, and then the different combinations of putting them together is how you get better and better, you know, armament or toys or whatever the case may be,
okay.
Right? So there is a scientific like, oh yeah, like, you know, hydrogen goes with this to create a new, you know, whatever the case may be, right? It's pretty funny. So,
so like, yeah. You know, take it back to when we were kids. I'm a little older than you, but
sure.
In no way did Pong on Atari help me prepare for science class.
No, no, absolutely not. Yeah, it's a good point. That's a really good point. So,
yeah.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of educational, you know, gaming too, in terms of like just math games and all sorts of, you know, which is pretty cool. So,
and I mean, that actually helps a lot. All the apps that have come out just to remediate learning for kids.
Yeah.
If they're struggling.
Yeah.
A game format that they can do independently.
Yeah. Well, there's the competitive aspect too of wanting to level up. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, hey, I did this simple equation, but now it slowly gets harder, but you don't even know that you're learning. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it's getting harder, but you got to get the high score or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think it's cool. I think we're talking more about the positive aspect of marketing for children. And a lot of that actually still is kind of the pull through adults, right? Like kids don't have the money and the resources to buy things directly.
Right. Right.
So it's that Saturday morning for us, that Saturday morning G.I. Joe commercial or toy commercial or whatever, clearly was aimed at us, but it was, hey, mom and dad, I want to get that Star Wars action. You know what I mean? Like it was, you know, or I got to mow lawns to get the money to do, you know what I mean? Type of thing, right? I think the opposite end of the spectrum that maybe people thinking about marketing for kids always gets the negative press is really more the nicotine products and things like that, right? So 30 years ago, we had Joe Camel, right? For those of us listening that aren't familiar with that, but Joe Camel was obviously Camel cigarettes.
Right.
And Joe Camel was like an illustrative version of a camel who was, it's kind of weird to say out loud actually, but like, you know, a drawing of a camel. And he was like, you know, swanky and sexy and always in these positions. He's always smoking. Right. But but he's cool. He's not 007, but he's a cool camel. Right. Right? And that, you know, I think there was a lawsuit in 92, beginning of the 90s of like, hey, this is, you know, targeted to kids and making smoking cool and making kids want to smoke. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember bubblegum cigarettes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, right? Candy cigarettes and all that crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I know Joe Camel got in a bunch of trouble for that. And then the modern day version of Joe Camel, it's weird how history repeats itself in 30 year loops, right? You know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah, Juul.
Juul, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't realize this until I looked this up. There were over 5,000 individual lawsuits against Juul for marketing to kids.
Wow.
Right. And it was, well, you know, are they marketing to kids? I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to go into the nuances and the specificity of it. Right. But it's, hey, yeah, there's young people smoking mango, you know, electronic cigarettes or whatever.
Cotton candy.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, you know, there were 5,000 individual lawsuits that basically got packaged up into a $1.7 billion financial settlement.
Wow.
For marketing for kids, right? And so, you know, they said young models, social media, they were giving away free samples, so that'll get you in trouble. Now, that is, you know, there is a, I guess it needs to be pointed out, there is a big bodily harm difference between smoking a nicotine product and buying a plastic action figure. You know what I mean? In terms of marketing for kids. So, I mean, they're not the same, right?
Right.
But it is interesting that, you know, it was, they lost. They lost a lawsuit saying marketing for kids, right?
Well, that makes me think about some of the toys that were marketed to us when we were young that are now no longer around.
Yeah.
Because they're so damn dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a lot of spring-loaded blaster things, right?
Pogo sticks.
Yeah. Pogo sticks. Is that not?
Pogo sticks?
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember that. Is that not a thing anymore?
I don't think so.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then, did you ever play the yard darts with the metal tip?
Oh yeah, of course, of course. You, lawn darts. Yeah,
you can't
that
find
seemed
those.
Like a horrible idea. Yeah.
You can't find those anymore.
Those are probably worth some money, actually, because they're so illegal. Yeah, let's throw this giant metal spike in the air and hope the javelin doesn't hit little Timmy, right?
And, I mean, brothers are going to throw them directly at each other, right?
Well, we are a litigious society now, more so than ever, I think. I mean, we sue everybody for everything. I mean, you know, I bought a cup of coffee and spilled it all over myself and sued McDonald's and made $20 million. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where we're at, right?
That's true.
I mean, I'm astonished that some of my shirts, you know, say, have a tag on the inside that say, do not iron while wearing, right? Now, wouldn't exist. That label wouldn't exist,
if
right?
For that lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. So somewhere along the line that happened. So, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting sort of topic, I think, you know, marketing for kids. You know, most of the time it's a that I've worked on in my career for 30 years is we're working on a company that might have a product for kids, but we're not marketing directly to the kids. You know, it's the grown-ups that are buying the stroller, for example.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the grown-ups that are deciding where to go to dinner, right? But the kids are asking for, you know, to go to XYZ restaurant because they're familiar with it, things like that. So,
right.
You know.
And I mean, I guess like maybe cereal. That's something that's still very geared towards kids.
Sure, sure.
What else is there in the grocery store geared toward kids beyond candy?
Well, you got all these like
ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream. You got, I was going to say yogurt squeezers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the Danimals. I mean, there's still very much is, you know, you go down different aisles and there are kind of things that are, you know, definitely geared graphically, you know, package design wise and everything for family stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, I still have all those. And even though they're geared for kids, I'm baby. I may eat a fruit snack or two late at night.
Oh,
right?
Cheese sticks.
Yeah.
I know the cheese sticks. I noticed that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I've been doing all the talking. Any weird stories you've got from your history in terms of walking the halls of school or, you know, posters that are hanging up? You know, I'm thinking of, you know, for me, it was DARE, right? To keep kids off drugs. I don't know that that's marketing for kids, but it kind of really is marketing for kids. You know, I mean, it was a big nationwide campaign.
I mean, I think about like the NFL, a couple of things that come to mind for me, some of the contests, like, I was at a school and the NFL had a big contest with like the school with the most school spirit, you know, about, you know, their NFL team.
Interesting.
And the winner got, and we won,
$25,000. Wow, that's legit.
Legit. And
now that's $25,000 scholarship for the school.
Straight to the school.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's a great marketing campaign for NFL. NBA does the same thing.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
Yeah. They've set up different marketing campaigns to build their fan base.
Yeah, that's cool.
Especially from the kids in that, you know, in that zone or that network.
In the region.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of that from the sports coming into play, which is, I don't see that as a negative.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a tax write-off for those guys, but it's also goodwill with, I mean, hey, 25 grand is 25 grand.
Give it to a school who has a lot of school spirit for your team. And then, you know, players came out, presented the check and everything.
That's cool.
And it promotes kids, you know, really, really getting into physical.
Yeah.
Physical exercise.
Well, I know that the NFL at one point had a play 60 or something. Was trying trying to get kids to move and groove. Right?
Yeah, there was a whole package, a whole instructional unit that schools could adopt to embed within. And then, I mean, they're smart. You know, it's in the PE class. There's reading. There's text associated, so you can pull it into the reading block.
Yeah.
There's mathematics associated when you like figure out how many yards you go and how many more you have. I mean, there's so much you can do with it. So I've seen a lot of that. I think also about one thing that comes to mind was, I don't know if it's marketing, but it's more about imagery in the message, the overt message or the covert message.
Okay.
So when I was in middle school, one of the big things about middle school is dress code.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm living it right now.
Yeah. And so this was in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Like 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
And we had...
Do people still call that the aughts?
I don't even know.
Man. I don't know either.
I have no idea.
All right. I interrupted you. Keep going.
I have no idea. But a teacher came to me. We had made these posters about dress code.
Okay.
And the boy in the poster was dressed correctly.
Okay.
The girl in the poster was not.
Okay.
I didn't think anything of it.
Sure.
Well, my teachers came to me and she said, what message is that sending about girls?
Yeah. There's a kerfuffle brewing.
I said, what do you mean? She's like, why does a girl have to be dressed inappropriately?
Yeah.
I said, I had never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, if you want to be equitable, have a boy dressed appropriately and a boy dressed inappropriately.
Yeah.
Do the same for girls.
Yeah.
And for me, that was pretty, and that was a moment that I always remember, and I thank the teacher for it, because
yeah.
I didn't look at it from that perspective,
yeah.
but I always did after that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So that's a little bit more about imagery that's put in front of kids and the message it may send, and you don't even know.
No, it's, I have a middle school daughter right now, and I have an older daughter that went through middle school, so I'm very familiar with the discrepancy of dress code, if that makes any sense, you know? Yeah. So, no, but I think that's a great example of just, you don't really think about something until you think about something. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a malicious thing. It's not something
at all.
Purposeful, you know, but it is important to have representation for, you know, young, developing, curious minds, so...
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I think like with the negative side of marketing that could, you know, I would say that schools are pretty protective of what's allowed in their schools.
Yes.
Now, if you go to smaller districts with less oversight,
yeah,
you never know what's going to get into in front of kids, but
anything goes.
Yeah. I mean, in metro Atlanta areas, there's a pretty rigid, guidelines around what gets put in front of kids.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the pod, man. I super appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Before we let you go, let me ask you a couple of random questions. You're on the hot seat right now.
Okay.
So, favorite ad or anything from your life? I'm just riffing right now. I'm freeforming this one.
Favorite advertisement.
Do you have any favorite ad or anything from the past? Or like, oh, that always makes me chuckle. Or, oh my God, that car commercial jingle drove me crazy. You know what I mean? Like just anything off the top of your head.
Mentos freshness.
Hey, those are fun.
That was fun.
The Fresh Maker or whatever.
The Fresh Maker, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's one that comes
And then favorite brand. Do you have a brand that you love? I think I'll ask all of our guests that come on, I think I'll give them these two questions.
I mean, honestly, I'm from Atlanta, so Coca-Cola is a pretty big brand for me. Yeah, I mean, because I'm from that era where Coca-Cola clothes were really big.
Yeah.
You know, when they had that minute where they were doing Coca-Cola clothes in the
80s. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, cool. Mentos and Coke. And you know what happens when you mix those together?
Something special.
Fireworks, my friends. All right, everybody go home and do a science experiment of Mentos and Coke. It's funny how that worked out. Great job, Matt.
Yeah,
great job. All right, well, everybody can find us online at mocktheagency.com. You can search us on the socials at mocktheagency. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. All right, thanks, everybody.